This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about freedom, censorship, NATO. Let's talk to Natalie Winters tonight, Sarah Gonzalez, Lee Smith. What a Monday coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's have a discussion about freedom before we get to a massive, massive show. And along those lines of freedom, let's talk about the fact that the Anti-Communist Manifesto is available on paperback now at jessekellybook.com. Stop, I had to do that. I had to do it. But actually, along those lines, this is one of the things that's written in that wonderful book, because we're about to talk about freedom, freedom of speech, communism, control, slavery, NATO, all those spicy things. Quote, by classifying words as correct or incorrect, the communist is limiting the scope of acceptable speech. If he doesn't want you to say something, he will forbid you from using the words needed to say it. He's building walls around you and boxing you in. Now, before we get to Germany and NATO and slavery and things like that, I just think it's important to go back to step one, right? Go back to the basics, if you will. Because we all need that from time to time. I need it, you need it. I understand you're a political person. That's why you're here watching I'm Right on the First. So you're hyper-informed and you get the Constitution and freedom and history. And I understand that you know these things, but even a professional boxer has to go back and work on his footwork from time to time. The basics. Freedom. What does that mean? Why is it even important? We love to use the word. I do. I'm a red-blooded American. You do. Land of the free, freedom, free, free, free. But what does it mean? It doesn't actually mean the things that, some of the things even that I love, that you may love, tanks and planes and bombs, freedom! Doesn't mean that. The flag, that's not freedom. What does freedom mean? Freedom that has real, genuine meaning means the government can't control you. It's freedom from government control. That is everything. It's not a small thing. Because I've lived 43 years and I've only lived in a relatively free country. We'll get to that in a minute. I take it for granted. I admit, I'm ashamed that I do, but I take it for granted. It's all I've ever known. It's freedom. But here in the United States of America, land of the free, shining city on a hill. We'll get back to that in a second, too. What does that mean? That means here in this country, unlike most countries historically, honestly, almost all of them historically, in this country, I can say things and the government cannot arrest me for those things, can't apprehend me, can't stop me from doing so. Now, we love that. We love that when we talk about popular things. If I was to sit here on I'm Right and tell you, I love puppies. You would never want the government arresting me for that. I love Jesus. The government, you would never want the government coming down on me for that. But what if I said things that were ugly, nasty? I love Hitler. I hate Jews. I hate Christians. I hate white people. I hate black people. I hate pick the horrible thing you could say. I hate puppies. You know, real, genuine freedom means you may hate me for saying those things, and I would hope you would dislike me if I said those things, but you wouldn't want the government to stop me. That's real freedom. Can the government stop you from saying things, owning property, having weapons? Can the government stop you from doing so? And governments have always, why is it so rare here? Because governments have always wanted to stop people from doing so. If I so desired right now, I could right now on camera say emphatically that I hate Donald Trump's guts, and I think he's ugly, and J.D. Vance is stupid, and I despise all these people. And I don't feel that way, but if I did feel that way, I have the freedom to say it. And nobody can stop me from saying it. Try insulting the king in most countries historically. See how that goes for you. It's everything that we have that freedom here. That's what it means. But over time, I mean, part of the reason you and I have to go back to the basics, over time we lose sight of that. And as we lose sight of that, as we take it for granted, as I take it for granted, evil tyrants here, domestically and around the globe, have taken advantage of it. Because government, back to what we were saying, has always wanted to control your speech, control your thoughts, as I laid out in the book. They've always wanted that because, let's be honest, if you can strip the morality of somebody, if you take morality away from it, act like there is no such thing as morality, isn't a slave always better than an employee? Again, set aside your moral compass. If I have no moral compass at all, and let's say I need 5 producers for the show, why would I want employees? I have to pay. I have to consider their feelings. I have to do that. Why wouldn't I just want slaves? Do this, don't do that, work 24 hours a day, I don't care, work till you die. Isn't that more beneficial to me? Well, that's how governments see us. And so freedom, America being the shining city on a hill, means we have to take strong stances and have historically against tyranny, not just domestically, but around the globe. Did you see this 60 Minutes clip on what is happening in Germany?
Inside, 6 armed officers searched a suspect's home, then seized his laptop and cell phone. Prosecutors say those electronics may have been used to commit a crime. The crime? Posting a racist cartoon online. More than 50 similar raids played out. Part of what prosecutors say is a coordinated effort to curb online hate speech in Germany.
Is it a crime to insult somebody in public?
Yes, it is.
And it's a crime to insult them online as well?
Yes.
The fine could be even higher if you insult someone in the internet.
Why?
Because in internet, it stays there.
If somebody posts something that's not true, and then somebody else reposts it or likes it, are they committing a crime?
Yeah, in the case of reposting, it is a crime as well, because the reader can't distinguish whether you just invented this or just reposted it. That's the same for us.
And that brings me to what J.D. Vance said overseas. I'll get to us domestically here in a few. I want to focus on something incredible, amazing that happened last week, something we already discussed a little bit, but there's a lot to be excited about during the first month of Donald Trump's presidency. I admit that. I'm happy about the deportations, the cleaning out of the government, things like that. But I don't know that there's anything that makes me as excited and hopeful for the future, I guess I'll put it that way, as the speech J.D. Vance gave in front of the European Union. And let me explain why before I play a little excerpt of it. It excites me because that shining city on a hill, Reagan described America as that shining city on a hill, that means something too. It's more than just a wonderful saying, a wonderful quote we use. That means the United States of America has a role, in my mind, has a duty to be a shining city on a hill for the rest of the world. And oftentimes, that means being forceful, being vocal, when we see freedoms being smashed, not just in these traditional dictatorships we love to rant about all the time, not just in North Korea, as the shining city on a hill, as the land of the free, when we see even our allies, if we're going to put it that way, allies in Europe smashing freedoms, smashing the most critical freedoms, we have a duty, an obligation to stand in front of them and speak boldly like this. I don't know that I've ever heard a politician say something I found so inspiring.
I believe that dismissing people, dismissing their concerns, or worse yet, shutting down media, shutting down elections, or shutting people out of the political process protects nothing. In fact, it is the most surefire way to destroy democracy. And speaking up and expressing opinions isn't election interference. Even when people express views outside your own country, and even when those people are very influential. And trust me, I say this with all humor, if American democracy can survive 10 years of Greta Thunberg scolding, you guys can survive a few months of Elon Musk. But what German democracy, what no democracy, American, German, or European will survive, is telling millions of voters that their thoughts and concerns, their aspirations, their pleas for relief are invalid or unworthy of even being considered.
It means so much to me to watch us lead again, because I love my country so much. I want us to do more than just embrace freedom domestically. We'll get to that in just one second here. I want us to be that shining city on a hill. I view that as being our role to uplift the entire planet, not just with bombs and bullets as we've done many times before, but by going abroad and sometimes even in the faces of our friends, telling them you are wrong and you are doing wrong and you are doing your people wrong and you should change. This is America speaking. It inspires me and I love it. And good for J.D. Vance. And good for Trump for letting him do it. Now that brings me to domestically as we wrap this up here. I know you're aware of this, but don't think for a single solitary second that we are beyond or above that here. In fact, we just experienced 4 years of it here, and had God forbid Kamala Harris won that election, we would be in the middle of another 4 years where it would have gotten worse and worse and worse and worse as the evil tyrants domestically unleash their hounds on us. Remember, just remember this little tidbit. If you remember nothing else, remember that the Federal Bureau of Investigation coordinated with Facebook to censor a damaging story they didn't like so Donald Trump could lose his re-election bid. Tyranny is a breath away here.
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
We are a breath away. Keep voting Democrat. We will see what's happening in Germany and even worse here. And to be frank, we've already seen similar things happen here. We must be ever vigilant, and we must be that shining city on a hill. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Speaking of Mark Zuckerberg, Natalie Winters has, as she often does, some really outstanding reporting about Mark Zuckerberg. What's behind this whole transition he's making? We'll talk to Natalie in just a moment. Before we talk to her, I hope you got some good sleep this weekend. I knocked out a Friday night, a Saturday night, a Sunday night, sleeping like a little bitty baby. And Saturday, I'd had too much caffeine. I was running around. I just got kind of hooked on afternoon coffee, so I was worried I wouldn't be able to sleep. Guess what I did? Went and made myself a cup of hot chocolate before bed. But it wasn't normal hot chocolate, you see. It was dream powder from Bean. You'd never know it. It was delicious cinnamon hot chocolate, but it had melatonin and things like that in it. Sipped on a little cup of it. Out. Like a light. 9, 10 hours. Woke up Sunday, ready to go to church. Taken off like a rocket. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly gets you up to 40% off. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I have trust issues. I admit that. I'm old and cynical and mean. And so when I see filthy communists who've done everything they can to fund and organize communism in this country suddenly have a magical awakening the second Donald Trump gets elected and has some great approval numbers, you can count me as skeptical. And there's nobody who's spent more money to fund American communism than Mark Zuckerberg. And yet Mark Zuckerberg now's got his bro hair all grown out, and he's hanging with the UFC. He's meeting with Trump down in Mar-a-Lago. Woo, I'm one of the boys. I'm not buying any of it. I wonder if Natalie is joining me now, co-host of the War Room, investigative reporter, the wonderful Natalie Winters joins us. Natalie, you can count me out on the whole Zuckerberg thing.
Well, I will join you being definitely counted out on the idea that Mark Zuckerberg is MAGA's, I guess, latest convert. I think I've probably seen transgender operations and surgeries that are more convincing than the shtick he's got going on. To sort of contextualize this story, because I think telling it sort of through an anecdote is very telling of the mindset over there in Zuckerberg world. A few days ago, I had put out a Twitter thread linking a group that he had donated to, sort of by one entity removed, called the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, which was in turn funding a lot of these groups that are bankrolling and behind the lawsuits that are actively sabotaging and holding up President Trump's agenda in court. The Meta people melted down. They actually ran to the New York Times for cover, believe it or not, in a piece smearing me, saying that I was a right-wing influencer, not once referring to me as the host of Stephen K. Bannon's War Room. So very obviously a press release, right, designed to sort of smear the story. And their defense was, well, yes, we gave money to this organization and we don't know what they did with it, so don't hold us accountable. How's that for just absolute lack of courage and anything morality or ethically based? But all that aside, I then decided to double down on my research and actually found over a dozen organizations, including but not limited to those that are actively A, suing President Trump in court, B, organizing protesters, demonstrators, people to call their lawmakers against the President Trump, the America First agenda, particularly when it comes to mass deportations, all the petitions, the phone banking, you know how these resistance type Democrats work. all of these organizations having been funded by Mark Zuckerberg or his organizations that he runs himself. So the idea that Mark Zuckerberg is Mr. MAGA is completely bogus. And instead of running to the New York Times and demeaning myself and my show, he should be condemning these organizations, withdrawing funds. And if he really cares about American sovereignty, he should be exposing the activities, the illegal activities of these organizations, which include doxing ICE raids and ICE agents.
I'm glad you actually brought up a few points there, but let's focus on this one. Could you tell me, Natalie, because I know you're all over this stuff like white on rice, has Mark Zuckerberg made any public statements about his intention to withdraw these funds, stop giving these funds? Do we have anything tangible beyond the MAGA bro sayings we're hearing out of Zuckerberg that show he's renounced his Maoist ways?
No, absolutely not. And I think if you sort of draw this story all the way back to its beginning, right, he put out, what was it, a 1.5, when you take the spacing into account, it was probably like a half of a page letter saying, hey, I'm sorry for what we did with the 2020 election. Our evidence suggests that we actually didn't have an impact. Conveniently, no footnotes were given, no evidence to prove that. But I put the blame on weak congressional Republicans who treated that letter as if it was some huge, massive victory. I believe they actually referred to it as, quote, a big win. But what they've been doing in the meantime, since I broke that original story before we put out the larger thread showing the over dozen, like I said, organizations that are actively opposing President Donald Trump, well, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, their website where they itemize and list the thousands of grants that they've doled out, as you were alluding to overwhelmingly left-wing, far left at that, organizations. Well, curiously enough, the day before I broke that original story, they listed over 5,000 grants on their website dating back to, I believe, 2018. Now, all of a sudden, there's only 600 grants listed, and they announced that they have reformulated the grant portion of their website where they are only listing grants from 2024 onward. In other words, the entire 2020 election rigging collusion hoax, totally gone, and all of these far left open borders groups, now suddenly, I guess he didn't fund them because they're not there.
You know, just a couple clicks and a delete button, and all of those sins are washed away. How about that? Okay, Natalie, these guys who are having these converts over here, I want you to talk a little bit more, if you wouldn't mind, on how their organizations work, because this gets confusing for normal people who don't do the work you do when it comes to investigative journalism, because it does get confusing. They'll fund this group, but the group itself doesn't actually fund the filthy communism. That group starts another group, which starts another group, and that and they just come up with a million different cutouts to make themselves look clean. Can you give us a communist funding 101 little thing here for a minute, please?
Well, it's all by design. I'd sort of put it through the same paradigm of the like Hunter Biden money laundering scheme, right? Where they had all the different cutout and the shell companies and this LLC and this person being brought in to do something. This all is sort of the dark money network. And I don't think it can be underscored enough how these big tech guys, the sort of Silicon Valley-based organizations, really have created these sort of bedrock ground zero for so much of this dark money apparatus. I would say the other half being supplemented by sort of like the George Soros would sort of euphemize themselves as the like, you know, pro-democracy cohort. But how it works is they pool, I mean, you're with Zuckerberg, you're talking several billion dollars, not even talking just a couple hundred million. But they'll pool it, they'll park it. And typically these California-based foundations where the sort of tax laws and just the financial disclosures are extremely vague. So you can't really even tell who exactly they're funding. It's not like I can click on the website, like put it this way, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative was actually very unique to have even had a grants portion listed on their website. The loopholes are created intentionally so you can dole out money to whoever you want and you basically can't tell. It's, I guess, the upside of the, you know, tax exempt status for all these 501c3 organizations, which I would advocate to completely strip. The idea that these entities are non-political, I don't think there is anything more political than, I don't know, orchestrating an invasion of the United States of America. But through these sort of shell companies, they have, first of all, this like layer of defense, this kind of, for lack of a better term, Chinese wall, where they can say, well, we didn't directly give them money. But it's also just more broadly, too, they're very euphemistic and whitewashing and sort of describing their agendas. it's sort of like the pro-democracy brigade, right? The Twitter brigade of blue check democracy defenders. They're very, very, you know, grandstanding in the ideologies that they're pushing. But in reality, they're pushing for the complete overtaking of the United States, the complete dissolution of sovereignty, right? Global government might sound nice in UN HR, you know, woman speak, but in reality, it's a complete deprivation of your civil rights, your civil liberties. And I don't think that you want people who not only are documented pathological liars, like we saw with Mark Zuckerberg, but people who lack courage and are only interested in their own self-advancement, and frankly, their own financial interests, being the people who sit atop that global government superstructure. But that's what they want right now. I'm all for big tents, except when the tent, the people you're inviting into the tent, are actively trying to burn down that tent and then take it over or retrofit it so they get to co-opt the MAGA movement.
Yeah. Chinese wall is actually so incredibly appropriate that I'm going to now steal that and use that for my own purposes going forward.
Hey, it's intellectual property theft. Very CCP of you.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to give you no credit whatsoever. Natalie Winters, co-host of The War Room. Natalie, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. That's really good. Chinese wall. I'm stealing it. It's mine now. Speaking of dirty communists, where do you have your cell phone service? Who do you pay every month? You get a receipt every month, don't you? Maybe you get it by email. Maybe it's your text message. Your Verizon bill's been paid. You know Verizon hates you. You know, when we talk about stealing elections and all this corporate funding, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they take your money and they give it to the most disgusting causes you could possibly imagine. We fund our own destruction here in this country, but we don't have to when it comes to your cell service. There's Pure Talk. Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company. You're not giving up service. So don't worry about dropping calls. They're on the same 5G network. I pay half of what I was paying at AT&T, and I pay a company that cares about veterans, America. Their CEO walked the jungles of Vietnam for this country. That's my cell phone company. Want to switch? PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide.
and he met with the head of a political party that has far-right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that the censorship
I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history.
I don't know whether it's inspiring to me or disheartening how stupid / programmed our enemies are. Joining me now, my friend Sarah Gonzalez, host of Unfiltered on Blaze TV. It's a wonderful show, I might point out. And now VP of Texas Family Project. We'll talk to Sarah about women in leadership in a moment. Before we get to that, Sarah, dirty communist Margaret Brennan, yes, she got scolded by Marco Rubio, but these people really are just genuinely programmed, aren't they? Just everything to the right of them is a Nazi.
Yes, 100%. I mean, you watch her try to struggle to complete a coherent sentence as she's talking to Marco Rubio. It's like you can see the two brain cells that she has barely rubbing together to create any sort of thought. I mean, it's incredible. These people go through 4 years, presumably, of journalism school, put themselves how many thousands of dollars in debt, and come out this dumb. It's incredible to see.
Sarah, do you feel like, I don't know, I feel like this right now, like we are winning. And I don't just mean, you know, the Trump presidency and cleaning out some of the government. It feels global. Maybe it's a social media thing, I don't know. But it feels as if the authoritarian left is getting slapped around quite a bit right now. I'm not saying they're defeated, but it feels like they are searching for answers.
I would 100% agree with you. And I think that this all culminated. It began with Donald Trump winning the election because, you know, when you're listening to the mainstream media, the Margaret Brennans of the world, all of these people who blowhards who go on TV and they wear a nice suit and tie. So you think that they know what they're talking about. And then they proceed to lie to not just the American public, but the world. And so I think that Donald Trump's election was really a wake up call, not just to America, but to the world, that you cannot continue to lie to your people. You cannot continue to lie to your citizens. You cannot continue to not protect them, like what is going on in the UK with all of these, you know, terrorists rising up and taking to the streets. You can't continue to do that to a nation, to a people. You can only do it for so long before they stand up, they rise up, and they say no more. And so I think that we're going to see more of this. I think that Donald Trump's election and victory and what he has done since he's been into office, quite honestly, has been inspiring to the rest of the world to see.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. But in case people think I'm just getting too hopeful, we have so much work to do. As I've explained, you're happy about the clean out in the federal government. You have a lot of work state-wise and locally to do, even in your red state, which brings us to this video courtesy of Sarah Gonzalez. This is from a Cathedral of Hope church, allegedly, in Dallas, Texas. Here it was.
By the way, if any of y'all voted for Trump, please don't tell us. No, don't tell us. Or do, and do y'all sacrifice? Do y'all do that? Did we start? He voted for Trump?
No, I said the church is safe.
Okay, because I will. I went down to Austin like a year and a half ago with some other drag queens to, you know, fist fight Greg Abbott, but he wouldn't stand up and fight me. And I'll be honest, I think the easiest thing that we can do with the money that we raise is just take away those wheelchair ramps and just not let him have access to the floor.
Oh, lovely. Sarah, what did I just watch?
What you just watched, Jesse, was a benefit. It was a fundraiser, a drag brunch fundraiser for the Cathedral of Hope Church. And this was, by the way, I'd like to point out, this was taking place yesterday on Sunday after their church service, in which they dedicated the entire service to drag queens. And they brought up the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Yes, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Of course, the organization that has had multiple people convicted on things like child pornography and masturbation in front of, you know, the public. And so you have the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the Dallas Bears, okay? And at one point there was, I'm not kidding, a man in a pup mask and pup gear crawling around on all fours on the floor while the congregation clapped for all of them. And this was all led by a drag king preacher, a woman with a Sharpie beard, talking about how important it was that everyone know how and why she does drag. I mean, the whole thing was a total abomination. It was downright evil. I gotta tell you, that was a church of something, but certainly not Christ.
I feel like I need like the longest, hottest shower in the world right now. I'm so freaking grossed out. Hey, Sarah, tell me about this Texas Family Project. I see you're the vice president. What's going on there?
Yeah, you can just call me Madam Vice President, Jesse. No, I'm kidding. So Texas Family Project is, this is what we're doing here in the state of Texas. I already had teamed up with them for our Defend Our Kids Texas project. And this one, I just took kind of a further leap into making sure that we strengthen families here in the state of Texas, whether it be protecting children from what you just saw right there, or pornographic literature in school libraries, and, you know, just protecting children, protecting families at the state level. Because as you pointed out, Jesse, I think a lot of people take for granted that they live in the state of Texas and they think, oh, we're red, and so nothing bad can happen to us. But there are really egregious things happening here in the state of Texas to Texas children. School choice is another thing, you know? And so we are really leaning hard into making sure that Texas children are not just protected, but they're equipped with what they need in order to, you know, survive. And so that is what we are doing. And this is just some of the work that we are doing here in the state of Texas, if nothing else than to expose the demons for who they really are.
Can people help with this kind of thing, Sarah? Because this is the exact kind of thing people need to do everywhere, not just in Texas, but I'm glad you're doing it here. People have to get involved. You can't just sit back and watch Trump and J.D. Vance slap the communists around. How do people get involved? Can they get involved?
Yeah, of course they can. So, I mean, we started this just from, this was a total grassroots thing in which I literally was scouring for all of the abominations that we put out, the drag show for the drag queen story hour, the drag show for kids, all of these things. It's all accessible to you when you go to, you know, event websites and you try to search for these things. Show up, film it, expose it, get it to me. I'll help you blow it up. There are plenty of people who are we want to work together with these people to make sure to blow these things up, to expose the depravities that are going on in whatever state you're in. So if they're in Texas and they want to help, they can go to Texas Family Project.com and either sign up to get involved, or I mean, we'll take your donations as well, because this all takes money. And I think that so often conservatives, they think to themselves, well, I just want to, you know, live and let live. I'm just going to keep my family and take care of my family and not worry about the rest of it. And meanwhile, this is what culture has turned into, even in a red state. So wake up, people, get involved locally. It takes so little of your time to just shine the light on the darkness.
Yeah, you cannot live and let live your way out of communism. All right, finally,
nope.
Speaking of blowing things up, let's talk about Ukraine. I saw Zelensky got a standing ovation from senators. Here he was.
How are you?
Hey,
good to
see you.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
You look good.
Yeah,
really?
Yes.
Hang in there.
Thank you.
You got a lot of friends here.
Thank you very much for this.
I did see John Cornyn, senator from the red state of Texas, there getting the vapors as he met Zelensky. He's also got a primary coming next year, Sarah. Is this finally the year we remove that human barnacle from the Senate?
I got to tell you, if it's not 2026, then I we're done here, right? I don't even know what we're doing here, because the American people are sick to death of this America Last agenda, where people like John Cornyn and Lindsey Graham are so concerned with matters that have nothing to do with us and not concerned at all with the American people. And if we can't get something like this right here in the state of Texas, I really don't know what we're doing here. I am trying to encourage our Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to maybe throw his name into the ring. I think that he would be a really good primary opponent of John Cornyn. But I mean, look, when you're talking about someone as bottom of the barrel as John Cornyn, if we can't find someone, anyone to threaten his candidacy, that does not speak well for the state of Texas. I really think this is going to be the time. America is fully ready to go all full out America first. You saw that with the election. You see that with the polling that's come out since. Every single measure that Donald Trump has taken to lean more into putting America first, the American people are very happy about. So I can't imagine that John Cornyn, as much as he tries to cozy up to Donald Trump now because he knows it's politically advantageous to him, I don't think Texans are going to put up with it anymore.
Amen. Sarah, come back soon as always. Thank you, man. All right. We're not done. Lee Smith is going to join us. We'll actually talk a little bit about this Ukraine stuff, what's going on there. Before we get to Lee Smith, let's talk about those expense reports you're stressing over. Hate doing expenses, don't you? Look, I don't even do them, and I hate it because my wife does them, and it's a nightmare. You're chasing, how do you categorize this? Do you have the receipt? I don't have the receipt from this. How many people, how much time, how much money do you spend chasing down the expenses for your company? It's a freaking nightmare. You don't have to do that anymore. Ramp, the corporate card, they'll do it all for you. That's the best part. All the stuff, the categorizing, the everything. The Ramp card does it for you. How much would you save if you could get a card to do it for you? Go get a Ramp card today. And now, for a limited time, listeners of this show get $250 when you join Ramp. Go to ramp.com/Jesse. That's ramp.com/Jesse. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Terms and conditions apply. We'll be back. Peace. Apparently it's beginning, on the way. I was about to say on the way, but I guess we don't know yet. As we speak, Americans, Russians, they're meeting in Saudi Arabia. I bet that's hot and miserable. To discuss the peace process, finally ending this butchery in Ukraine. Let's see how this is going to go. Joining me now, Lee Smith, author of the book Disappearing the President. To be frank, you should really read everything Lee Smith writes. Every time he puts out a column, you should be reading it. Joining me now is Lee. Okay, peace process. First, why isn't Zelensky there? How's this work? You're the one with all the experience with all this crap. How's this work?
Well, I think one of the important things is to figure out what the U.S. Russia, you know, what U.S. Russia agreements will look like. I mean, you can't have everyone sitting at the table at the same time, because that will lead to chaos, and we've seen what that looks like with the Middle East peace process, where you have everyone sitting at the same table, and by the end they're all throwing Jell-O at each other, or worse. So I think this is probably a pretty good way to start. Figure out, you know, I mean, Donald Trump has been. I don't think he's been speaking all the time with Putin and Zelensky, but he's certainly been signaling through Truth Social and other comments he's made. So I think this is a good way to start.
Okay, let's flip to the other side. Let's assume that they're going to start this. They're beginning in Saudi Arabia to work something out. Zelensky's all over Meet the Press saying things like this.
Have you been given any assurances that Ukraine will have an equal seat at the negotiating table?
So I will never accept any decisions between the United States and Russia about Ukraine. Never. And our people, never. And our adults and children and everybody. It can't be so. This is the war in Ukraine against us, and it's our human losses. And we are thankful for all the support. Unity between USA, in USA, around Ukraine support, bipartisan unity, bipartisan support. We're thankful for all of this, but there is no any leader in the world who can really make a deal with Putin without us, about us.
Okay, let's set aside all that stuff or whatever feelings anybody has. How much leverage does he have, Lee? Because that's None. What we're in now. We're in the leverage game because we're in the negotiation game. What leverage does he have?
Zero. And that's why we see comments like this, because, you know, Zelensky's speaking to a number of different audiences here. There are some people at home in Ukraine who are watching. He's also speaking to the Europeans as well as the Americans, but he knows that it's really the United States, Donald Trump, that's going to carry the ball for him on this. But he has to present himself as a strong leader. I mean, you know, it's as you say, Jesse, I totally agree. Regardless of how we feel about American money has been spent, and I think we're justifiably quite angry about this, that it's been used for a lot of death, we also have to keep in mind, I think, the tremendous loss Ukrainians have taken here. And they have nothing to do with what Zelensky and many of his corrupt ministers have been up to. So it's a horrible situation. And thankfully, Donald Trump has seen through all of the noise on all sides. And that's why he's keen, I think, to bring peace to the middle of Europe.
Speaking of corruption in the government, Lindsey Graham had an eye-opening thing to say. Here's what he said.
You and your people, you're the ally I've been hoping for all my life. Not one American has died defending Ukraine. You've taken our weapons and you've kicked their ass, and I'm very proud to have you as our ally.
What does Lindsey Graham get out of all this, Lee? I don't think Lindsey Graham goes at home at night and wraps himself in a Ukrainian blankie and watches Thunder from Down Under. He doesn't care about Ukraine. He gets something from this. What is it?
I mean, it's a terrible way to speak. It's a terrible way to speak to people. Talk about, you know, all of you have died. You used our weapons. We haven't had to do anything. It's really very sad that Graham should be so. I don't know how we put it, tactless or clueless at this point. And again, he's speaking to many different audiences as well, and he seems not to understand that a lot of people are listening to this and they're just shaking their heads how someone can speak like this.
Lee, let's shift gears a little bit and go to Gaza, because as I've told people, Trump intends to do very big things with his 4 years. He's not joking about Greenland. He's not joking about the Panama Canal. Yeah. He intends to write his name on the history books. And he said something about taking control of Gaza, except for the people in Gaza, that land means something to them. As wrong-headed as they may be about some things, the land means something. They're not looking for a condo and a well-paying job as a valet at the newest Ritz. The land means something. How does this work? How does this look?
Well, also, they weren't looking to stay in Gaza, because remember that this has been the Palestinian cause for about 80 years to get rid of the Israelis. So while they may not have any, yes, they don't have any special attachment to Gaza. In fact, I mean, a lot of people are living there, but I mean, remember, a lot of these people are living in so-called refugee camps. And what does that mean? Is that they were never planning to stay on Gaza in the first place. Had they won their multiple wars or any of their wars against Israel, they all would have moved into Israel proper and knocked the Jews into the sea as they've been threatening for years and years now. I think that Donald Trump's initiative here is it's historic. I think that the Israelis right now are having a hard time wrapping their head around it. And part of that is because of the hostage situation. Part of that is because they're still fighting. But, I think that Donald Trump's, again, the idea of taking this away, not only from the Palestinians, but taking it away from the Israelis. And who knows the purpose it will serve for American interests? Will it be part of a sovereign? Will this make money for the sovereign wealth fund that the president and Treasury Department intend to set up? Is it going to be effectively a fort? I mean, again, the Eastern Mediterranean is vital for U.S. interests. Is this part of what Donald Trump is thinking? I don't know right now, but I think, again, it's an important and historic initiative, not only for the Middle East, but very important for U.S. interests, too. People were shocked by it, and I certainly was surprised, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, that's fingers crossed. Let's see where she goes. Lee, come back soon, my brother. I appreciate you as always. All right, it's time for Light the Mood. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And we almost, at least I do, I don't want to put words in your mouth, we almost kind of forget about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. It was such a clownish campaign. It was so embarrassing. But we kind of have forgotten about the fact that this woman was almost president of the United States.
For those rights to be maintained, which means we have to be vigilant, and it's just the nature of it.
This beautiful play and everything that we know he ended, that he was suppressed, he had to suppress so much. But he knew, and he took those risks. But we have to be clear-eyed.
And it doesn't mean we don't see the beauty in everything. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. These things all coexist. Yeah. But I believe we fight for something, not against something. And that's our word. Optimism, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. With that, I'll make...
You know what got me? It wasn't even Dome and her idiot word salad things. It was all those braying seals around her. Absolutely. Like she's just dropping the most profound wisdom on him possible. Oh, yeah, that was a good point. That was a good point. Gosh. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.